Hey everyone, today we're going to be doing a deep dive into a topic that I know is super relevant to a lot of you out there.
Yeah, for sure.
The benefits of a high protein diet, specifically for women over 50.
Right.
So I actually got this article sent to me by a listener.
Oh, cool.
It's called Top 10 Ways Eating a High Protein Diet is Important for Women Over 50.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the website MSPJ.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, so, you know, there's 10 benefits listed in this article.
Yeah.
We're obviously not going to get to all of them.
Yeah.
But we're going to hit the ones that I think are the most compelling, you know, and pull out some of the interesting details and facts.
For sure, for sure.
I'm actually really excited to talk about the protein and cognitive function connection, because that one surprised me.
Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, so maybe we can start there. But first, like, what even is protein, and, you know, why is it so important?
Okay, so protein is like the building block of our bodies, you know? It's made up of these things called amino acids, and they're essential for, like, building and repairing tissues, you know?
Okay.
Making enzymes, hormones, and, like, supporting our immune system.
Right.
So it's involved in pretty much every function in the body.
So it's not just for, like, you know, bodybuilders or athletes?
No, 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 not at all.
Okay.
I mean, they definitely need it, but it's essential for everyone, really.
And the article mentions that women over 50 need even more protein than younger adults.
Right, exactly. So the recommendation is about 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight.
Okay.
Which is higher than the recommendation for younger adults.
Why is that?
Well, as we age, our bodies become less efficient at using protein.
Hmm.
So we need more of it to maintain, you know, muscle mass, bone health, and all those important functions.
So, like, our bodies just don't absorb it as well? Or?
Yeah, it's kind of like our absorption process isn't as good as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then also hormonal changes during menopause can lead to a decrease in muscle mass and bone density. So protein becomes even more crucial during that time.
Gotcha. So it's not just, like, the amount of protein we eat, but also, like, how well our bodies can actually utilize it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really important point.
Okay.
And this is where those essential amino acids come in.
Okay, you mentioned those earlier.
Yeah, so these are the amino acids that our bodies can't make on their own.
Okay.
So we have to get them from our diet.
So we've got to make sure that we're getting enough of those in our diet.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so the article really emphasizes this idea of maintaining muscle mass, especially as we age.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've noticed even for myself, it's gotten harder to, you know, maintain my strength. And I'm definitely more worried about falls these days, which the article also mentions.
Yeah, falls are a big concern as we get older, and losing muscle mass definitely increases that risk.
So how does protein help with that?
Well, there's this term called sarcopenia.
Sarcopenia.
Yeah, it's basically age-related muscle loss.
Okay.
And it's a slippery slope, because the less muscle mass you have, the weaker you become, the less active you are, and it just kind of keeps going.
Like a downward spiral.
Exactly. But protein can help interrupt that cycle by stimulating muscle protein synthesis.
What is that?
So that's the process of actually building and repairing muscle tissue.
Also, it's like literally keeping us strong and on our feet as we age.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing is, increasing your protein intake can not only help prevent further muscle loss,
mm-hmm.
but it can actually help you regain some of that lost muscle.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so we got to make sure we're getting enough protein for our muscles.
Definitely.
The article also highlights the connection between protein and bone health,
mm-hmm.
which is another thing I know a lot of women are concerned about, myself included.
Right. Especially after menopause, our bones become more fragile and we're more susceptible to fractures.
Right.
But studies have shown that a higher protein intake is linked to increased bone mineral density.
So how does protein actually, like, help build stronger bones?
Well, one of the key mechanisms is through a growth factor called IGF-1. Yeah, it's stimulated by protein intake, and it plays a crucial role in bone development and repair.
Huh. So it's like a signal that tells your bones to stay strong and resilient.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wow, I had no idea there was such a direct link between protein and bone health.
It's one of the many ways protein supports our overall health as we age.
Seems like it's good for pretty much everything.
It really is. And there's another area where protein really shines, and that's weight management.
Hmm. Okay. This is something I've been struggling with lately.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like my metabolism has just, like, slowed down, mm-hmm. and I'm finding it harder and harder to maintain a healthy weight.
You're not alone. A lot of women experience that around menopause.
Mm.
But protein can really help with that.
Okay.
So protein has a higher thermic effect compared to carbs and fats.
What does that mean?
It means your body actually burns more calories digesting protein.
Oh.
So even if you're eating the same number of calories, you'll burn more of them if those calories come from protein.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a little metabolism boost.
Huh, interesting.
Plus, protein keeps you feeling full and satisfied for longer, so you're less likely to overeat.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have noticed that when I eat a protein-rich meal, I'm not as hungry later on.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about muscle health, bone health, weight management, but the part of this article that I am most curious about is the protein and cognitive function connection.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. A lot of people don't realize that protein plays a role in brain health.
Yeah, so tell me more about that.
Okay, so certain amino acids found in protein are actually precursors to neurotransmitters.
Neurotransmitters, like what are those?
Those are basically the chemical messengers in the brain.
So we're talking about things like dopamine and serotonin.
Exactly. Those are involved in mood, focus, memory, all that good stuff.
So by eating more protein, we could actually improve our mood and focus.
It's possible, yeah. And not only that, but protein also influences the production of something called BDNF.
BDNF, what is that?
It stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor.
Okay.
Think of it like fertilizer for your brain. It helps neurons grow and thrive, which supports learning, memory, and overall cognitive function.
So eating more protein can actually make us, like, sharper.
It can definitely contribute to brain health and cognitive function.
I have to admit, I was a little skeptical about this part of the article, but it's starting to make sense.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how interconnected everything is.
And speaking of interconnectedness, the article also talks about protein's role in immune function.
Right. Our immune system needs protein to function properly.
Okay, why is that?
Well, your immune system relies on cells to fight off infection, right?
Right.
And those cells are made of protein.
Oh, it all comes back to protein.
It really does. It's the foundation of a healthy body.
This is amazing. I'm starting to feel like I need to up my protein intake.
Well, stay tuned because in the next part of this deep dive, we're going to talk about how to actually get enough protein and what types of protein sources are best.
Perfect. I can't wait to learn more.
See you in part two.
Okay. Welcome back. We were talking about all the ways that protein can really impact our health, especially for women over 50. It's kind of a superhero nutrient.
It really is. And you know what I think is great about this article?
Yeah.
Is that it not only tells us why protein is important.
Right.
It gives us some practical advice.
Yeah.
On how to actually get enough of it.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, I'm already thinking about that. You know, like, how can I incorporate more protein into my diet?
Mm-hmm.
But the article mentions, you know, aiming for this 1.2 grams of protein.
Right.
Per kilogram of body weight.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have no idea how to even begin to calculate that.
I know it sounds complicated, but don't worry.
Okay.
It's actually simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
A good rule of thumb is to aim for about 20, 30 grams of protein.
Okay.
Per meal.
Per meal. Okay.
Yeah. And a super easy way to do that is to start with a protein-rich breakfast.
Okay. I've heard that before. But honestly, I'm more of a toast and coffee kind of person in the mornings.
Oh, I hear you. Mornings can be so hectic.
Yeah.
But even like small changes can make a big difference.
Okay.
What if you added a scoop of protein powder to your coffee?
In my coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could even like blend it with some ice and fruit for a smoothie.
Hmm. That's actually a really good idea.
Right.
I do love smoothies.
Yeah.
The article also mentions Greek yogurt as a good source of protein.
Oh, yeah. That's a fantastic option.
Okay.
It's packed with protein, and it's a good source of calcium.
Oh, right. Because of bone health.
Exactly.
Okay. So maybe Greek yogurt with some berries and granola.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And you know what? I've also been wanting to try those overnight oats recipes.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
That I keep seeing online.
Mm-hmm.
I bet I could sneak some protein powder in there.
You absolutely could. You're already thinking, like, a protein pro.
Okay.
And remember, it's not just about breakfast. You want to aim to include protein in every meal and snack.
Okay, so what about lunch and dinner?
Yeah.
What are some good sources there? Because I'll admit, I tend to get stuck in a rut with my meals.
Well, first of all, don't be afraid to think beyond meat.
Okay.
Chicken, fish, lean beef are all excellent sources.
Right.
But there's also a whole world of plant-based options.
Oh, that's good to know because I'm trying to eat less meat these days.
Yeah.
So what are some good plant-based proteins?
Beans and lentils are fantastic.
Okay.
They're packed with protein and fiber, which keeps you full.
Right.
You can add them to soups, stews, salads.
I do love lentil soup.
Veggie burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of options.
The article also mentions tofu.
Yes. Tofu is a great one.
I've tried it a few times, but I'm not sure I'm cooking it right.
Yeah.
It always turns out kind of bland.
Tofu can be a blank canvas. That's true.
Yeah.
But that also makes it versatile.
Right.
The key is to marinate it or season it well.
Okay.
You can stir fry it with veggies and a flavorful sauce.
Okay.
Or bake it with your favorite spices.
I'm sensing a theme here that we need to get creative in the kitchen.
You got it.
Okay.
And experiment with different flavors and recipes to really get more protein in.
And you said snacks are a good opportunity too.
Yes, snacks are key.
Okay.
Because we all get hungry between meals.
Yeah, especially me.
Instead of reaching for those chips or cookies,
yeah.
What if you had some almonds?
Okay.
Or Greek yogurt with berries?
Oh, that's a much better idea.
Right.
The article also mentioned hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, yes. Eggs are a protein powerhouse.
They are.
So quick and easy.
Yeah, I used to love those as a kid.
You can take them on the go.
Yeah.
Perfect snack.
You know, one thing I struggle with, though, is finding the time to cook.
Oh, yeah.
Especially during the week.
I know.
When I'm working, and the article talks about meal prepping.
Yes.
So that's something you recommend.
Meal prepping can be a game changer.
Okay.
Especially for busy women.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be fancy.
Yeah.
Just set aside like an hour or two on the weekend.
Okay.
Cook a batch of protein-rich meals or snacks that you can just grab throughout the week.
So like what kind of things would you make?
You can make a big batch of lentil soup.
Oh.
Hard-boiled eggs.
Okay, those are easy.
Chicken breasts you can use for salads or sandwiches.
Okay.
Lots of options.
I'm feeling inspired.
Good.
I think I'm going to make that lentil soup this weekend.
Awesome.
And maybe some hard-boiled eggs. And I definitely want to try that protein smoothie idea.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And remember, you know, small changes can make a big difference over time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like you have to overhaul your entire diet overnight.
Right.
Just start with one or two new habits and build from there.
Yeah, that makes it feel more manageable, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's not about deprivation.
Yeah.
It's about adding in more of the good stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, so in the next part of this deep dive, we're going to talk about something that's particularly relevant for women over 50.
Yes.
The connection between protein and hormonal balance.
That's a big one.
Okay, so we're getting into the really interesting stuff now.
I think you'll find it fascinating.
Okay, I can't wait.
See you in part 3.
All right, so we're back, and we've been talking all about, you know, the amazing benefits of a high-protein diet.
Yeah.
Especially for women over 50.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting to something that I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Which is the connection between protein and hormonal balance.
Right.
And this is a big one for women as we age.
Absolutely. Hormonal changes are a natural part of aging, especially during menopause.
Great.
And it can cause a whole cascade of symptoms like weight gain, mood swings, fatigue, you name it.
Oh, yeah. I've been experiencing some of those myself lately.
I hear you. It's like your body's playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
But here's the good news.
Okay.
There are things we can do to support our bodies through this transition.
Okay. Like what?
Well, you guessed it. Protein is one of those things.
Really? Okay, so tell me more. How does protein help with hormonal balance?
Remember those essential amino acids we talked about?
Yeah, those are the building blocks of protein.
Exactly, and they're not just for building muscles and tissues. They're also crucial for producing and regulating hormones.
Oh, wow. So by eating enough protein, we're giving our bodies what it needs to make those hormones.
Exactly, you got it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of hormones are we talking about?
Well, for example, amino acids are essential for producing insulin.
Insulin.
Yeah. You know, that hormone that regulates our blood sugar levels.
Yeah. Right.
And it plays a key role in metabolism and energy.
Okay.
And they're also involved in thyroid hormone production.
Oh, wow.
Which affects everything from your metabolism to your mood.
Okay. That's making a lot of sense because I know a lot of women experience changes in their metabolism and energy levels during menopause.
Right. And maintaining muscle mass is also crucial for metabolic health.
Right. We talked about that.
And that can help offset the tendency to gain weight.
During menopause.
Exactly. It's like a positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
Protein helps you preserve muscle, mm-hmm. boosts metabolism, and helps with weight management.
Wow. Okay. So protein is like a key player in all of this.
It really is. And let's not forget about those cravings.
Oh, yeah. The article mentioned that protein can help with that, too.
Absolutely. Because protein helps to stabilize blood sugar levels.
Oh.
It can reduce those intense cravings for sugar.
Oh,
or processed foods that so many women experience.
Okay, you know what? Now that you mention it, I have noticed that when I eat a protein-rich meal, I'm not as tempted to snack later on.
See, exactly.
Okay, so it's like a win-win.
It is.
You know, it helps with weight management.
Yep.
And it reduces those cravings.
Absolutely.
This has been so eye-opening. I'm realizing that, you know, prioritizing protein in my diet isn't just about physical health. It's about supporting my body.
Mm-hmm.
Through these hormonal changes and just, you know, feeling my best.
Exactly. And ultimately, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Healthy aging is about feeling energized.
Right.
Maintaining your independence, enjoying life to the fullest, no matter what stage of life you're in.
That's a great way to put it. It's not about adding years to our lives, but adding life to our years.
I love that.
And it seems like protein is a big part of that.
Absolutely. It's like giving your body the tools it needs to thrive.
Okay. Well, this has been such a great deep dive.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I feel like I have a whole new understanding of protein and why it's so important for women over 50.
Good. I hope you feel empowered to make some changes.
I definitely do. I'm excited to start incorporating more protein into my diet and see how it makes me feel.
Awesome. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today for this fascinating deep dive into the world of protein.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I encourage everyone listening to do their own research experiment with different protein sources and recipes. Find what works for you.
Yeah, good advice.
And just remember, every small step you take towards a healthier lifestyle is a victory.
Absolutely.
So keep learning, keep experimenting, and keep those protein levels high.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.